On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I had a buddy who used to say, I like to flip through nudie magazines and listen to women's tennis.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. Now he takes off the shirt. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
This is going great.
This is Tall Can Audio.
Well, we're off and running again. Another Tall Can Audio, episode 743. Matt over here, Rob over there. What are you saying today, man?
Loving it. Loving it. It's a beauty, beauty Sunday. It was supposed to be dog shit, but yeah. It's really just been overcast.
Even in the green room there, the virtual green room, you're bringing the energy today.
I got it, man. I got it. I started off with a good feed of flapjacks this morning. Honestly, it's something about, and you have to include the buttermilk.
Okay.
If you don't have the buttermilk, and don't start messing around and giving me the 50-50 white flour, whole wheat flour mix.
Right.
White flour only. Sorry, if I'm going to eat pancakes, I want good pancakes, man. I don't want pancakes that are healthy for me.
Hotcakes.
Yeah, you throw the flapjack down there, you put a little butter on it, and by a little butter, I mean don't chintz on the butter.
No.
Hit it with good syrup. Now, don't give me any of that Aunt Jemima bullshit. I'm looking for good maple syrup. Back that up with a little grapefruit, little cantaloupe. Woo! Pumpkin spice coffee with a little hot chocolate.
And the day was off and running.
Man, full speed, full tilt, all in.
Right on, man.
What about you?
Yeah, none of that. Woke up after a poor sleep, tossed and turned a little.
I slept like a champ.
Well, that's coming through, man. So you're going to carry this today, as always, the guy with the energy.
Her.
Yes. what are you drinking?
I'm sopping up, finishing up some of my St. James Gate stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So I just cracked a harp there. I'm double backing it with a lovely pint of Black Magic. Guinness will be coming, get me through the second half of the show.
Nice.
Now, I say sop it up, but really, the Guinness is always in-house,
yeah.
Right? I always like to keep 4 or 6 on hand.
Yep.
In case of emergency, break glass. You know, when shit goes bad, you owe a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
That'll pretty much take care of everything that ails you.
Right on, man.
What do you got going on over there?
I am circling back to something I haven't tried in quite a while. And maybe I referenced it on here already. I can't remember. But got one of those sampler packs from Muskoka.
Oh.
And I've been hit and miss with Muskoka for a while. So this was 4 different types, 3 each of the 4 different ones. And I had their cream ale, I think, a week or two ago. But this is the Mad Tom. And I know I've had Mad Tom, and I know I didn't care for it.
Right. The Mad Tom is a...
It's an IPA.
Okay.
6.4%. And it is probably, you know, the biggest, one of the biggest craft IPAs in Ontario. You see Mad Tom at most LCBOs.
For sure you do, yeah.
Yeah. And I probably haven't had it for at least 3 years. And at the time, I wasn't much into the IPAs. And it came in the sampler pack. So we're going to give it another shot, man. We're going to see if my palate has changed at all or if it still gets the thumbs down.
Well, and you know what? While you do that, I'm really curious in terms of, if you're going to hit me with a sampler, do don't hit me with something that you've already been trotting out for forever.
Your big wig, right?
Like, yeah, like and your cream ale. Tell me the cream ale wasn't in there.
Yeah, it was.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
But I enjoyed it.
Okay, but again, the Muskoka cream ale.
Yep, it's everywhere.
And the Mad Tom. Those are the two, am I wrong, the two biggest
Muskoka beers? No, you're right. You see those everywhere, yeah.
So, now how about, was there a Chinook Stout in there?
Nope. And I would love that. Yeah, I know.
But Jesus Christ.
And the other thing is, they're just the little boy cans too, right? I'm not interested.
Yeah,
we've lost Rob on the Muskoka sampler.
Well, and again, to me, back in the day, and I'm talking 20 years ago, more than, you know, Muskoka cream ale was, it was a little bit on the crafty side,
yes,
right? Like
yeah.
it wasn't your big boy. And so I like to grab a cream ale because it was different, right?
Yep.
It had a little something else going for it. But at this point now, how can you not have in a sample pack? Now, maybe they don't have the Chinook in the smaller cans.
That's my thought. And I also remember maybe a year or so ago, they had something called the Survival Pack, I think. And they had like a list on the case of things you could do with it, like in terms of turning it into, like how to turn the case into a little tent or how to turn it into kindling or whatever, right? And you're like, all right, that's kind of fun. And my dad was the one who'd picked it up at the cottage one weekend, and we tried something called, it was like the lemon and wheatgrass ale, and it is by far the worst beer I've ever had. And I hung that on Muskoka for a while. Now, a quick read of the can tells you, you're not going to like this. Like,
yeah.
So the fact that I held it against the brewery, that I still opened it and drank it and went, no, this sucks. Right? Like,
right.
That's not fair that I did that, but I did. And so I've stayed away from Muskoka for a while now, but we've got the sampler pack here. And I can tell you that this is less objectionable than last time. It's
right.
About as far as I'm prepared to go with it.
Well, and that comes down to your, as you said, and I agree. I've had the Mad Tom before years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, nope, tastes like shite. but really, I think it was just, it was not, my palate wasn't used to what an IPA, what a true IPA
right.
is bringing.
So if you were going to give me another IPA, which everyone who listens to this show know isn't my go-to, I would go to other IPAs still ahead of this one. But I am less offended by it than before,
okay.
Being more, you know, familiar with the IPA style, I guess.
Well, and we talked about this, I don't know, it back in the summertime probably, which seems like both yesterday and years ago. It's weird. When I was sampling on my second time through all the Brew Revolution stuff.
Yes.
And really the only beer that I did not enjoy from them was their double dry hopped IPA. And again, I think as it comes down to, you go, yeah, but I don't like any double dry-hopped
right.
IPAs. So you gotta give Muskoka or you gotta give Brew Rev, you gotta give them all kind of a bit of a pass in that and
yep.
say that lemon
I knew going
beer,
in this wasn't for me.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, or from now on, if somebody offers me a Ghost, I'm not gonna be like, no thanks, man.
Yeah.
I'm not digging that.
Right.
But I've had enough to know that, yeah, if I'm not gonna like it, no
That's
matter how good.
That's about me, not the brewery.
Right, exactly. That no matter how good you make that. It's not my bag.
We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Like we've said before, the beers, more often than not, unless I forget, go up at on the Instagram feed. So you can give us a follow there. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this one. A couple of good shows coming up, man. On Tuesday, we're going to have TSN's James Duthie coming back on. He was here back in May. I think we actually dropped that as our fifth birthday show, the fifth anniversary of TCA happened to be that week, so we saved it and dropped it there early on in the pandemic when we were still trying to figure out how we were going to make our way through this. He was one of the first guests we've had on, and frankly, I'm not ashamed to say, a name I've dropped ever since to land most of the rest of these guests. Like, hey, come on, if James Duthie did it, are you too good for
yeah.
And I told him that when we were exchanging emails and stuff, and you kind of laughed, thought that was fun. I got the Bob Father by dropping your name. So,
well, and wasn't he the one that told you, yeah, Bob doesn't do many
yep.
of these?
He's like, it's worth a shot, I guess, but it's not going to happen. So,
well, what else do you have coming up this week, Matt?
On Thursday, Graham Nichols, better known as the Sixth Sens, will be on. I'm going to talk to him on Thursday. So that'll probably be Friday, if not a little later. We'll see how the week goes. you know, maybe we'll hold on to it a little bit. If there's nothing, you know, if there's something more pressing that you and I need to get on and do, we'll hold it till next week. If not, we'll drop that on Friday. But he's very well known on Sens Twitter, had a very successful Sens blog, now writing for The Athletic. If you're any kind of a Senators fan who spends time online, I'm sure people know the sixth Sens.
It's true. This is getting to be quite an Ottawa-centric podcast.
We are drifting that way a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to have to find a way to reach out and get Dangle or something like that on here.
So yeah, and it's funny because Duthie, when he comes on, you'll have to, you know, he and I both are Gloucester guys, right?
Right.
So I grew up in the mean streets of Beacon Hill North, and, you know, these sorts of things. And I know, I'm not sure where Michaela's from.
Well, I know now she's out in Almonte. I don't know these Ottawa.
The Mexican general, Almonte.
Almonte.
It's Almont, man.
All right. What the fuck do I know?
Nothing.
You're saying Gloucester. I don't even know where that is.
Oh, come on, man.
East.
Just east of the city of Ottawa is the incorporated city of Gloucester. Gloucester for you, those of you in the UK. But I know, yeah, I know Duthie's he's a Gloucester guy,
yes,
as well. So yeah, look at you, Matt.
Got a couple, good looking guests coming up. For now, you're stuck with this not so good looking pair,
yeah,
but, well, okay, here we started. No, you're coming into that. You're
yeah, no problems, man. I'm good with that, which is actually segues me right into your texting, tweeting of last evening with your talking about, you know, your dancing around to a little Rexon effect.
I don't think I said I was dancing.
Yeah, you did. Sure, you did.
Said doing that Saturday night thing.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Such a huge leap from one to the other, right?
Rexon effect. Rump shaker.
Yep. Check, baby, 1, 2, 3.
Now, did that hit you or did you have to go find that?
No, of course it hit me.
Yeah.
Because to me, other than my two beautiful children, it's really the one thing I'm left with from my ex-wife, which is her terrible taste in music, which would include this, right? This kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So sadly, I'm familiar with all those kinds of things in all the Boys to Men and whatever else you could probably get your hands on. Or, well, and again,
All for One.
Yeah, LL Cool J, but not the cool LL
no.
Cool J, like the 80s stuff. It's the late 90s where I don't know what you're doing. The ladies may have loved Cool James at one point.
At some point.
But it's not now, right? So these sorts of things, right? So sadly, you know, all I want to do is zoom, 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 whatever that is that he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly,
it was blaring here in the condos.
Yeah, okay. See, this is what I'm saying. And then you finish it with thinking you can get me to go to see Jagged Little Pill with you. Hashtag like him curvy. And I'm not even sure what that, like, it's vague enough to go, what is he talking about? Is it I like him curvy and therefore I'm going with
no,
you?
No, you're curvy and I like him curvy.
Only curvy if you're talking about the big guns and the gun show right here. Lots of curves.
Fuck.
Dangerous curves right there, my friend. A lot of kettlebell action.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is, what do we call it?
Because you are not my type.
Audio goal or theater of the mind there, ladies
for sure,
and gentlemen.
For sure. Close your eyes, good people.
He looks like he's built like The Rock is what he's trying to tell you.
I can only aspire to his traps, man. Dude is jacked.
No doubt.
But yeah.
Now, we talked about the Jagged Little Pill when it was announced that it was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Way back, and you had sworn up and down that there was no chance you were seeing. And for people who don't know, they took the Jagged Little Pill Alanis Morissette album, I think Grammy nominated in like 95, and turned it into a musical, as many are wont to do these days.
As you do.
And I guess it was nominated for a couple of things, and as Broadway remains shut down. But she will bring it home, and we will find a way to get Rob to the performance at the National Arts Center, or
you got no chance.
Did you see the musical performance that was making its way around Twitter this morning from Miley Cyrus?
Is she doing Jolene?
No, she was doing Zombie by the Cranberries.
By the Cranberries,
and just killing it, man. I guess.
Okay.
And like,
does she have her clothes on?
She does have her clothes on. I guess this was some sort of benefit. They kept referencing Save Our Stage. So a lot of music venues, obviously, across North America, and probably not just North America, having a really hard time not being able to put on events. So I imagine this was some sort of fundraiser. I wasn't particularly familiar with it. But it was like a hard rock version of it. And she was just tearing it down, man. Like, really good. We may actually use that to get out of here later in the show, if I remember.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah. Although getting really deeper by the week.
Well, it's the smokes and whiskey.
No doubt, man. She was on the Rogan podcast a couple of weeks ago, and you're like, wow, like, what has happened to you? And she makes no bones about the fact that she was into all kinds of shit there for a while in her career, so it was hard on her voice.
Well, and it's a real, you know, all those people who are churned out of Disney, right?
Yes.
And getting big on the Disney name, right? When you go, I no longer want to be Hannah Montana, or whatever Hillary Duff was before she, Lizzie McGuire. Oh, good get, Rob.
Mrs. Comrie.
Yeah, you're getting, you know, whatever happens.
Mrs. Avery.
When you're thankful for your wedding ring on the balcony thing that they were doing.
I have no idea what you're talking about there, but
She was caught on camera being extremely thankful for.
Oh, okay. What a good girl.
Well, hey, man, I'm just telling you what I'm just telling you what. And so that's
with
a hard
Mrs. Comrie or Mrs. Avery, or which she was passed around the NHL briefly, wasn't she?
No.
Yeah.
She was only with Comrie. You're thinking of Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah, that was Sean Avery and Dion Phaneuf. I thought that Avery also had a little time with. Could be wrong.
Yeah, you're breaking it now, and you'll have to fact check this. I have no idea what's happening here.
That doesn't happen here.
Okay, yeah, sorry. That's some other
Although
podcast.
Maybe leading into James Duthie, I should have some sort of. No, I better at least be correct.
It's coming out of it.
Yes.
It's everything after the Duthie podcast. You need to have tight.
Well, that's why it's Graham Nichols and not you. So.
Okay, totally fine. Totally fine with that.
So stick around for those. Speaking of Disney, though, I sent you on something. Did you have a chance to take a look at it? It was kind of last second.
Of course I did. I'm a pro.
An article about, I guess, in a bunch of these Disney movies now streaming on Disney Plus or wherever, they're putting in warnings that, hey, this is a little racially insensitive. And we've joked about that before with Peter Pan and some of the ones that they listed there. Were either in movies, and we'll share the article, but were in movies I either hadn't seen or saw when I was a kid and never would have put two and two together. I guess in Aristocats, there's a cat with a yellow face playing the chopsticks. Like, when I saw that movie at like 8 years old, that doesn't mean anything to me, right? Like, but in hindsight, you're like, okay, I see what you're doing there. And there was a couple others that obviously it was Peter Pan. There was the Jungle Book had some pretty damning.
Well, and to me, I've seen the Jungle Book in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And the original one, right?
Yeah. Because they did just redo it not too long ago.
Live action.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when you watch the Jungle Book, that whole scene with King Louie.
Yes.
Right, is, and this is before reading this article today, which it also is cited in the article.
Yeah.
You watch that, and all these apes, when they go to see the apes, and they're lazy, they're not doing any work, they're lying around, they're listening to jazz music. Yep.
And they're talking with a very...
Yes.
I don't know what you'd call it, but...
You'd call it a southern slow talk.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so you're like, oof. As a kid, I'm like,
no.
Hey, look at those apes.
Right.
But now as an adult, you go, like,
oh, lazy monkey with that accent. You're like, come on.
Yeah, it's exactly, that is the lowest hanging of the low hanging fruit, right? And so I don't know. And so where Matt's going with this in the article is all these movies will now have a warning up front that says what you are about to see contains and whether it's culturally insensitive or portrays minorities in an inappropriate fashion.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but this
is the phrase they kept using, it was wrong then and it's wrong now.
Right. And I'm really, it's not like this is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right.
or Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Well, this is why I brought it up, because we talked about on a previous episode way back in the Whiplash days of censoring Huck Finn or like things like that. And do you change the language or do you pull these books completely out of libraries? And I think at the time, like, we had this debate of what is remembering history the way it was versus what's fucking hurtful and offensive to people, when the fact, you know, when it's still out there. And now this is another wrinkle of it, right? Like, you're going to put it out there, and these movies are geared towards kids who were every bit as dumb as I just said I was, right? I didn't recognize the yellow-faced cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to the parents and to other people watching, you're like, yeah, this is fucked up that it was painted that way. And so it's a similar, I don't know, for some reason I have a different, to me, like, Huck Finn is a classic piece of literature, yeah, and The Aristocats is a kids movie that maybe you wouldn't miss if you threw it away, but are you now drawing a line somewhere, or?
Yeah, no, to me, what it comes down to is, in those classic pieces of literature that we just cited, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, right, or it's Uncle Tom's Cabin, or it's To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Those are things that are citing actual or times, pieces of time, yes, in history where that is things you can talk about, conversation starters that you can learn from and compare and contrast to.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas I think the King Louis and the Absolute Lazy Apes, who you are assigning certain human traits to,
yes,
is really hateful. And what it does now at this point is, and we've talked about this when we talked about the Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm,
it normalizes.
Right.
In a kid. A kid, you look at it and go, you're not understanding what they're saying, right? But at some point in the back of your head, it continues to cement and normalize the notion, black people, lazy.
Even if it's nothing more in that moment at your head, in your head at 7 years old, than that accent is, yep, lazy and whatever. Yep. And then in a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever, you hear or see that accent on a movie or you're like, oh, right? So you can, it's, yeah, it sort of sows it, as you've said, in the back of your head that, I don't know what this means, but later on it might form one of my.
Right. And so to me, some of those, like The Jungle Book is a fantastic piece of childhood viewing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you can't cut the scene with the apes out. To me, it's like the
yeah, I don't
French
remember the film well enough, I guess.
It's like the French plantation scene and the Playboy bunnies in Apocalypse Now. That was cut out of the original version. And in the Redux, when you look at it again, it's like a 40-minute piece. You're like, you just lopped that right out of the original. And so to me...
So if it's not crucial to the story, you're saying, just be done with it.
They go to, for whatever reason, they're looking for something. They're looking for, you know, some sway that King Louis can provide.
Right.
Right. But I think there's a way around that where you could just sort of... I think they're playing, there's some jazz tunes and they're all swinging and doing,
sure,
whatever,
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
I think you could probably just somehow... Whoop.
Well, the thing's been remastered 30 times because it came out in whenever, right? Like, you're right. You could easily put something else in there or slice it out and find a different road. Or, and I guess this is the point that I'm... Just punt it. Like, just be done with it. Like...
Well, because I think that there's...
Like the whole movie, I'm saying, right? Like,
no, I know what you're,
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Pan was fantastic. If,
yep,
you can find some way to remove the term Redskins, which they use,
yeah,
quite a bit.
Yes.
Those sorts of things, I think, in classic... I loved Peter Pan. Now, does that sort of thing go a long way towards my understanding of Native Americans and the indigenous population? I don't know, but I think if we can remove those sorts of things, these are not, I guess where I'm going with this, is these aren't Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry,
no,
Finn. These aren't that Yeah. If you had to move forward saying, okay, that thing if it was wrong then and it's still wrong now, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right. But I think if you can do something to edit those out without harming the actual overall product, then do it. And if not, I think it's wrong to continue to show it.
And that's the part that I think is sticking with me, because I am with you. If there's a way to just clip out some of these pieces and carry on with what is a classic story, and I think that's okay. But if you're saying right up front, it was wrong then and it's wrong now, but here it is, like that to me is a tough thing to support. Like, we know this is brutal, but here you go. And we're selling it to kids. I don't know. That's weird to me, man.
Well, I came across this, and this opens a whole different kettle of fish, but I came across on Twitter, it was a thing saying, if you wanted to know more about Sir John A. Macdonald, don't look to the government of Canada to give it to you.
No.
And so this was a Toronto Star article, which then said, if you look at the plaque about Sir John A. Macdonald in Parliament, it will tell you, born in Glasgow, you know, practice law in Kingston and blah, blah, blah. Prime minister, first prime minister, help, you know, one of the founding fathers help with the railroad and all these things, right? All these great things. And
yeah. And
then it says, but what it doesn't tell you is uttered many racist things.
Yeah. Noted piece of shit.
was integral in the founding of the residential schools.
Yeah.
These sorts of things. And then so you say, oh man, what do you do with that now? Right? Do you walk through Center Block and go, oh, Sir John A. Macdonald, notable hater, and I struggle with the.
Yeah.
I had a long conversation yesterday with that. What do you do? Does all the things that the good things he did get thrown out, and we can't have buildings named after him or statues? Because of this, so all the good things he does goes away, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm merely
that you're wrestling with it,
fleshing out a conversation here.
Yep.
Right? If there is a certain segment of the population who is hurt by this, who because it doesn't hurt me, I'm like, well, sorry about that, guys, but here we go. Right? And you go, there was a Sir John A. Macdonald High School here. There is the Sir John A. Macdonald Parkway. There is all these things, and you go. So does the fact that he was key, absolutely key in shaping this country in the way it is now, right? Because there's no doubt if you don't have the railroad that connects the four original colonies, provinces with BC, right? If you don't have something that gets out there, the Americans are snatching
that up. They're taking it from you,
All these things are happening, right? But so, and at what point, and this is merely a question that I wrestle with, is at what point do you then become like any communist country where there is no religion and there is and there is no culture? And you go, what school do you go to? I go to public school 52.
So communist countries or New York City.
Yeah. And you go, well, what do I have to show up for, you know, whatever. And you go, I am no longer at the Sir John A. Macdonald building. I'm at public building PB37.
Yes.
And I just wonder, you know, Rob Christie, noted good guy. He's done a bunch of good things. We can rhyme them all off. And you go, yeah, but he also did that thing back then. You're like,
I'll write that list.
Yeah, no problems. No problems. In no day, anytime soon, will there be a statue or a building named after me?
Probably
although
not.
Although it's a bloody shame. So,
do you have a tool shed behind the pool or anything?
Yeah, it's called the outhouse.
Yeah, okay. No, and this is it. And we've had this similar conversation with Michael Jackson. Classic tunes, piece of shit human being. What are you supposed to feel or do with those tunes in your collection? And this is obviously far, far greater, right? The forming of a nation and these sorts of things. But these are conversations that we have to have. And do you tear down the statues? Is that erasing history or should it be an educational thing? The fact that if it hurts people, then maybe that's a different type of conversation that you have to respect. And they've been dealing with this certainly far more than us. So, you know, in the States with the Confederate flag and.
Well, Robert E. Lee Public School.
Yeah.
And we talked about that years ago on the show.
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, I'm going to ask you something right now.
Okay.
When you hear, and especially with all the pressure that's been levied, you know, especially since it hit an apex with the George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when people talk, you know, they're like, Black Lives Matter and the fair treatment of all people really is what you're looking for.
Yep.
And they go, and you know, the treatment of Indigenous people in Canada. How do you feel when you hear that? Does any part of you bristle at
all?
Yes,
it does. It shouldn't. And I, you know, I open myself up to criticism. I don't know. What I do know is that this country has not treated our Indigenous population very well. I do struggle with the idea of piggybacking one struggle on top of another. And maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's what, but I do feel like it's a fight. It's an important fight and it's a conversation that needs to be had. I don't know. I do know, in my opinion, it's not the same conversation that they're having down there. They stem from different places. It's not good on either side of the border. We have our own problems to solve here, but it's a different issue. It comes from a different place. And it's going to have a different solution, I think. So I have a hard time with intertwining them because they're complicated enough on their own.
Yeah. See, and again, I'm not going to suggest to you that I have it. It hasn't irritated me mm-hmm. at times as well. And I think what I've wrestled with over time is the idea that I think what irritates me is the truth in it. And I'm okay if you go, all those Americans and their poor treatment of the Black people.
Right.
And then you go, oh wait, but
it's much harder to look in.
I don't want to look over here.
No, the mirror sucks, right?
Yeah, no, this is exactly right. And you go, so I get it. But the term of and the movement, the Black Lives Matter movement,
mm-hmm.
has really become in a lot of ways co-opted with, you know, when I was here at the march after George Floyd in Ottawa, you saw banners for Indigenous rights.
Mm-hmm.
You saw banners and placards for the treatment of the LGBTQ community.
Sure, yeah.
Right. It's come down to everyone is sort of trying to get in this, you know.
Well, because at the root of it is just treat everybody like a fucking human being.
Yes.
And I think that's fair, right?
It really is fair.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying is so to me, what's irritated me is the, I was okay with pointing at you and going,
yeah,
you're a bad person. Oh, okay. Wait, it's hard to, as you said, to look within.
Yeah.
Right. And I think whatever, and we can debate for days, the Indigenous issue here,
mm-hmm.
Why it is, how to fix it, what truth and reconciliation looks like. But the reality is there is an issue. There's a problem.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it needs to be fixed.
Well, and there is so, with the LGBT community as well. There is with the Black Lives. Like, all of these issues are legit. They're just different, right? And so
just before you finish that,
yeah.
I just wanted to say, I asked you if it irritated you, and thankfully you gave me the right answer. You gave me the truthful answer that you were actually feeling, because at times that's how I felt too, right? And so I'm not throwing you under the bus with that. I am merely using you to illustrate my point.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, I guess.
And then I can clean it up and look like the better human.
Yeah, I didn't hesitate to go. When I was at the march that you, Matt, were not at.
Well, because I care more.
Clearly.
Everybody knows that,
yes,
right?
Obviously, Matt.
There was going to be a segment on the show called Feelings with Flynn, because I am the more caring individual.
Yeah, let's let that ride. That's fine. That's
let it ride.
We talked last week on lighter things about the possibility that Jumbo Joe may arrive in blue and white back in Toronto, and that on Friday evening, which is interesting because normally Friday evenings when like politicians and stuff drop.
Reserved for bad news only, baby. News.
Yeah.
4 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah.
Bam, you're fired.
So the Leafs announce Friday around 5 o'clock, they have signed Joe Thornton to a 1 year league minimum deal. There was a press Zoom conference on Sunday where he talked a little bit about, you know, why he wanted to come to Toronto, and Kyle was there with what he was looking for. I guess before, you know, we did cover a lot of our thoughts on this last week, so we don't need to go too in depth, but I am curious.
Oh, I think we do, Matt.
What your thoughts were when you first saw it come across the ticker.
Well, the two of us were both of, I believe, of a like opinion, which was,
I'm confused.
Why do this? You have Spezza already, and now you are bringing in Joe.
The Greybeard.
Yeah. Well, and this is it. And you're like, it doesn't make any sense.
No. And I can tell you that when I saw it, my reaction was almost exactly what I thought it would be when we did talk about it. Still a little perplexed on an intellectual level. I'm not sure what you're doing, but on a fan level, like, fuck yeah, right? Like, bringing in Joe Thor. He's just a cool guy, right? He's kind of got that attitude about him, that he's cool in the interviews, he's cool in the locker rooms and stuff, but you know, he's fierce on the ice, and the beard's always been kind of this thing in the last few years.
Beard.
Yeah. So I am wrestling with this thing that is, you know, it's another one that's no risk at all, but I do still have the same thoughts that we talked about last week, which were, I'm not sure that you couldn't have spent that $700,000 on a different type of vet. He does bring different things than Spezza, but you do... You know, you are still looking for depth centers, and I assume
what are those? What are those things? What are the things that he does that you're going to separate from Spez?
He's going to take, in my opinion, way more defensive zone faceoffs than they trusted Spezza with. Last season, they did not like Spezza in the defensive zone very much.
Yep. This just in.
Right. That's not new.
That's never been his game. But nobody's going to mistake Joe Thornton for.
Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
Well, he has in the past, now not in his 40s, but he has gotten Selke votes before. He has been a top three Selke finisher before.
Okay.
But
Rob, you're wrong. Sorry.
Those days are certainly long gone, right?
Right.
So, and I think he'll be, I was going to say, I think it's the term fits, more physical. He's not a big open ice hitter, but you don't want to end up in a boards battle with Joe Thornton. You know, whereas maybe with Spez, you're like, yeah, that's not really all that intimidating.
Well, Spez will drop him.
Yeah, as we've seen.
Right? Spez will drop him and then get dropped.
Yeah, try and light up the bench, I guess, and get lit up himself.
And the thing is, if you look at Joe Thornton back to his days in the Sioux, right, and his time on the World Juniors.
The Sioux?
Wasn't he in Sault Ste. Marie?
Yes, he was. Okay. Are you suggesting the Leafs like guys out of the Greyhound?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Got to go way back for
this. Yeah, I know Kyle probably wasn't he wasn't born yet.
Yeah, for this is what I'm saying. And so if you look at it and go, he was a character, man. Like, yes. He was an easygoing, nice guy, like affable, just, there's nothing to dislike about Joe Thornton, unless you're a Bruin, right? And then you go, how do you trade a Hart Trophy winner away for it's Wayne bizarre. Primo. Yeah, you go, Art Ross and Hart, that's not something we need here. You're out. Right? So beyond those people, I'm not sure there's anybody who doesn't like Joe.
Right.
And, you know, and as a multi-Team Canada guy, to me that is, despite being a you know, a Maple Leaf, the red Maple Leaf, Homer, right? You sort of go, you love that guy, right? I'm super confused by the whole, and again, as you suggest, it's low risk. And I've spent the day or the last day and a half interacting with Leaf fans on Twitter.
You're a lovely bunch.
Which is fun. Yes. It's really, it's a hoot. Mm-hmm. They're loving my brand of realism. yes. And I always come back to the quote from Braveheart where the English army is sitting there and they're looking at the Scots on the other side and they're like, they seem quite optimistic.
Yes.
To me, that is the Leaf fan base. But I'm confused, and I've seen it in multiple spots where people are saying Bogosian, Simmons, Thornton, Spezza, nobody is going to intimidate the Leafs. And you're like, what the hell does that even mean? What are you talking about?
Especially since basically all those guys you just named are going to play like 12 minutes a night. Okay,
but again, you're like, and somebody else saying, yeah, finally again, taking a number really means something in the blue and white. And you're like, who?
Right.
Who's taking someone's number?
Right.
Who's doing this? I don't get it. And I look at it and they say, well, you see now they have the couple of gray beards, you know, win it for Spez. You see how much it mattered to him last year when they lost. He seemed to be the guy who took it the hardest. Mm-hmm. And you go, now you bring in Joe and you're like, let's win for Joe. He's a great guy, great career, 1,500. If you get too many fucking guys on your team that you want to win it for,
you're not going to win it.
You're not going to win it, man. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's got to pull those old bastards around.
I'm not sure we're there yet, although we're getting dangerously close. Let me ask you this. Does it make more sense to you, and we can talk about whether or not this is realistic or not, but does it make more sense to you if you find out that they think he's a number three center, not a number four center?
We talked about that on Thursday.
Right.
Or Friday, whenever it was released. Yeah. We talked about them, you know, playing Spez in the four hole.
Yes.
Thornton in the three hole.
Kerfoot goes back to the left side with Tavares and Nylander, which was quite good when they did it. They just couldn't keep it there because they needed Kerfoot at 3C, right?
And I saw an interesting thing today, too, where they were talking about, and I'm going to use somebody else's point that they were using as a positive to use as a question mark. they were talking about, you know, the subtraction of Kapanen and Janssen and how...
Yeah, I'm not sure really Joe's going to bring the same speed the Cap did.
No, but in terms of the offensive production and how that's your out of a second overall team in the league in terms of goals scored with Toronto, mm-hmm, at 237, only 21 of those were scored by Janssen and Kapanen.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, yeah, I think Joe was going to be able to help with that. And you look at, and there was a tweet you sent to me with a guy saying, oh, only Joe, all Joe does is dish. Too bad. I wonder if Toronto has any shooters. And then you look around and you're like, yeah, okay, that's great. But that is not what, as a team that finished second in the league in goal scoring, name me the last team that scored its way to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think most of them. But when you actually...
Really? Is that what you really think?
Yes.
I think of the late 80s Oilers who were scoring to overcome deficiencies. Because if you look at what, just in the last couple of years, Tampa, you got to learn to defend. You got to learn to play tighter.
That's exactly where I was going, though, is maybe you are going to give up some offense by and some speed, certainly. But do you trust Joe Thornton more to go take that defensive zone draw than Freddie the Goat? Right. And I do. Do you trust Brody to go out there instead of CeCe, who just got himself a nice little payday, yep, in Pittsburgh? Well, okay.
But a $3 million haircut, though.
Yeah. But again, as we've talked about, call Jim Rutherford when you're struggling to... You
know. Yeah, well, that's the Ottawa-Pittsburgh connection. Like, yeah. How many more trades? And so CeCe's being benefited by his time there.
But to me, maybe that's... Even if you're not bringing in the big stay-at-home defenseman, which you can argue that they did with Brody and the way he's going to play, and we can talk about Bogosian and how much he's going to play, but maybe you are shaving a little offense off for just guys that you're more comfortable with. Then maybe Wayne Simmons is better in his own end than Kasperi Kapanen, even if he's not going to score more than 10 or 12 instead of 15 or 18, right? I think that's sort of... by committee, Joe Thornton wins that draw instead of you being hemmed in your zone for the next 3.5 goddamn minutes.
Yeah, and we have I have time for that discussion. Really, all I'm saying is people who are looking around saying, yeah, well, do they have any shooters? Yeah, we're going to pair Joe, and Joe's going to be on the second power play unit, and we had 237 goals. All I'm suggesting is at some point you go, with the money you gave Simmons, the money you gave Spezza, and the money you gave Thornton, whatever that looks like, could you not have got a
Don't
more...
Don't forget our boy, Vesey.
Oh, Jimmy Vesey. Sorry. Sorry, I did, because to me, he's a legit Harvard stud.
Played with Kerfoot, too. We're building our whole team around Kerfoot.
Yeah. Well, and all I'm suggesting is, it's like a conversation I had with Western correspondent Kozak last week when we... When they signed Tyson Barrie, and you go, yeah, best power play in 40 years, and you've brought in a guy who's maybe going to help that power play,
right,
which doesn't need any help, when you could have maybe
spend
allocated
your assets somewhere else.
This is it. And you go, okay, so sorry, Klefbom is going to be out, but guess what? You still have McDavid and you still have Dreisaitl. I think your power play is going to be okay. Will it take a step back from its record pace of a year ago? Sure. But you probably could have allocated funds in a different area. That doesn't mean that Tyson Barrie isn't a good player. It just means it's probably not your best use of money.
Yeah, no, and I don't believe they know what their best use is, because it's either all-out offense like Tyson Barrie or all-out awful with Chris Russell. They have no idea what the fuck they're...
all-out awful? Yeah. Okay.
Podcast and titled.
Yeah. And that's really all I'm saying with the Thornton thing is you go.
I have time for that. I've said I'm confused. I don't know if this is what you. But again, with it being so cheap and so short term, and when you do dig into his numbers over, you know, last season, when he was playing with Sorensen, who had the worst year of his career, and God knows who on the other side, yeah, it looks bad because all he does is pass. And you're passing it to no one. Later in the season, when he had to move up and play top line minutes, because I believe it was Couture got hurt, I can't remember now, he's playing with their top line wingers, and all of a sudden he's back on a, whatever, 60-point pace. No one needs him to do that. They just need him to be responsible, and he is more responsible than a lot of the guys that we have.
Right. And again... I am
being optimistic here. There's no doubt about that. This is these are some blue goggles right now.
Hey, and I was looking at this afternoon. I was looking at the Leaf lineup, and to me, there is lots of reason if I was a Leaf fan to be optimistic, right? You like you look at it and you say, my only question is how many of these signings do they go? Well, there's no real harm in it. There's no real risk in it. Well, there's no real risk in it due to salary, due to what. But you start putting on three or four of these.
But don't you think that's why they've done so many of them? Because we haven't talked about Barabanov. We haven't talked about whether Robertson's going back to junior. We have some.
Robertson's not going back because they need his low salary cap hit.
Well, but they have, Jimmy Vesey just took his spot. Like, Pierre Engvall.
Eat my fucking lunch!
To me, I think they have done a bunch of these knowing that you can't bank on all of them working, but if a few do, then you're okay, right?
Right. And as I said, I agree with you when you look at all the signings and you're like, yeah, I like that in a vacuum. I like that. I just wonder, and this is really, hey, I'm on the opposite side from you, right? In terms of...
There's no guarantee this works. He's 41 playing over in Switzerland right now when you'd probably rather he be home resting.
And I wonder what happens with, and it's really more with the Simmons, Spezza, Thornton than it is. Like, Bogosian's only 30.
Yeah, right? Not his age. I worry about it.
I know. But what we are looking at now.
And Simmons is only 32.
Right. Well, okay, but.
I know. There's hard miles there, but
that's a hard miles because he's played a vigorous style.
But lots of Leaf fans were calling out for Corey Perry because he had a good 2.5 weeks in the playoffs that everyone saw, and he's like 35. So Simmons. Okay, if we're taking that gamble,
I think we're calling out for Perry again before you make all these moves, right? And to me, at some point, you end up with this. You're filling your entire back end with question marks.
Well, Friedge said that as soon as they signed Simmons, the Perry thing was done, right? Like they were going to take one of those shots.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So you're right. There are a lot of
questions. We talked about Perry, Spezza. We were talking about fourth line veteran guys, right? Is what we were talking about at the time. But my only question is, you know, as you throw it all, you whack on the board and you're like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. Take a look at that.
Yep.
And you wonder what's going to happen chemistry wise. You wonder, like, to me, people are saying, goddamn right, you're bringing in all this leadership and, you know, guys who were going to lead by example. Well, the reality is you are talking about an established young leadership core there. And I include Tavares in that, but he's not young, but he is in terms established in that leadership
core. Over a decade younger than Thornton.
Yeah. Okay. But you're now bringing in guys who are older, who it's not like I'm older on this team. I'm playing a bit role and I'm new to this team. How great a leadership voice am I going to have in that room?
Right. Yeah, no, and I do. I think that's fair because, like, even now, when they signed Spezza this year, he is younger now than Marlow was when they signed him to 3 years at 6.25. And that's why, as a Leaf fan, you're willing to go, okay, like, I'm comparatively speaking, I'm good. Like, there's no risk here. And you're right. There's a lot of question marks. And until they signed Thornton, I had no idea who was going to play center, right? Like, because there was a lot of time that Spez was right wing on the fourth line and the GOAT was doing his thing or Engvall was doing his thing. And then it was going to be.
What is that thing?
It was going to be Matthews, Tavares, and then I guess Kerfoot and Spets. And you're like, that's thin. With Joe, even if it's on the fourth line, I'm far more comfortable with him than I am with Engvall, than I was with Gauthier, than I was with even Spez, to be honest with you. And I've said I like the Spez move. I like that he's here. We don't know that it's all going to work, but I just think there's enough of them that enough will work, right?
Because Spez exceeded expectations last year, right? You came in and you thought, okay, I remember Spez at his top end. You know, 100-point guy in Ottawa, right? And you know he's not that guy.
Yeah.
But this was a guy who was a train wreck at his own blue line and often a bit of a shit show at the other blue line, right? Like, it's like, what is the deal with the blue line, man? Can you not dish the puck, man, before you get to the blue line? Because he was the Spez dispenser.
But I don't want him dishing it to Goat to carry it either.
Right. Okay. But that's a guy, though, who when he arrived in Toronto, you had very minimal expectations.
Well, I think that's what people should have with Joe.
Okay. And all I'm saying now is with Spez, all you Leaf fans, and it's only human nature, so I'm not just blaming you guys, but everyone's going to say, Spez was great last year. When really he surpassed your minimal expectations. Yeah. And now you have expectations. He's a year older. And what we're looking at is a potentially compressed season, right?
And I think that's a big part of this too. And I wonder if the Leafs haven't been given, not just the Leafs, but if teams haven't been given an inside track on that, maybe it'll be similar to baseball where you carry like a three-man, because we don't even know if there's going to be an AHL, right? Like what that's going to look like. Do you get to carry a taxi squad that doesn't count against the cap? Do maybe Spez and Thornton alternate on back-to-backs, right? Being fourth line center or whatever that's going to look like. Or maybe we see some of that hashtag load management that became so trendy around. Yeah. So I don't know what a lot of this is going to look like. But I think it was a worthwhile gamble. I think all of these guys making, and that is part of it. When you say expectations, I need you to clear the $700,000 bar. That's what we're asking you to clear. And both of those guys, I think, are capable of doing it. When you follow, like, there's some good Twitter account. Micah Blake McCurdy is one. Money Puck is one. And all of them are saying, at $700,000, Joe Thornton is still well above value, right? Like, you do that every time. But if you're expecting him to still get 80 assists a season, you will be super disappointed, especially because he's going to be feeding whatever, Engvall or
whatever,
Barabanov or, well, it's just, he's not setting up Austin Matthews because he's not playing with Austin Matthews, right? Like, those sweet passes would be great to big shooters, but he's probably not playing with those big shooters.
No, for sure not. And this is what I'm saying is,
yeah,
is in terms of the crunch, and now, and I keep cycling back, he is useful in so many ways.
Yep.
And I think even if you look at his last 3 years, because up until, you know,
yeah, last year San Jose was a train wreck.
Right. And even the 2 years before that,
yes,
you know, he was 23 and 40 assists, I think, in those
10 points in 15 playoff games the year before last.
He's combined for almost 100 assists in the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think I think you can only expect with his skill set and his size that he's gonna continue down that vein, right? And so I think there's lots interesting here.
It is interesting.
I just wonder, right?
I
just
so do
sort of
I.
go, hmm, man, what is going to go on?
But it's a right? boring pod if we both just go, I wonder. So, yeah, no, you got to throw down the cases on both sides. And
I totally get that.
You, during the press conference, he said that Spezza FaceTimed him offering to give up the number because Thornton is one of the few guys in the league that Spezza's younger than, and he's wearing the 19 in Toronto. So he FaceTimes Joe and, you know, I know, you know, for the veteran, do you want the number? And Thornton laughed and he said, you know, I appreciate it, but no, I'm not taking that for it. He's going to wear the 97 he's worn internationally. But it is funny to think the 37-year-old Spezza still has to defer to somebody.
And you go, well, what's going to happen here, right? Who's older?
Right. And one of the interesting things about Joe Thornton, the last player left in the league who has scored a goal at Maple Leaf Gardens. That's how old Joe Thornton is.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that you passed that tweet along. And you,
well, to me,
you
that's know, fun, man. That's
well, that but that is super fun.
Yeah.
And you go, it's one of those things where you hear that stat where you go, this was the, again, and I can't remember which guy it was, but there's been somebody who's played with Jágr who's won the cup every year going back to 80.
Yes.
So we've had 40 straight years of somebody winning a cup.
Yeah.
Who's played with Jágr, and you wonder how long that can go, but that's one of those stats, right? And you go, who was the last guy, Matt, to score a goal at Maple Leaf Gardens?
It was a Blackhawk. Is it Bob Probert?
Bob Probert. Look at that guy. For sure, man. It was Bob Probert.
Yeah.
I love that, Matt. Good for you, man.
I remember lots of bad things happening to my teams in that building.
Well, and long time, you know, Detroit Red Wing, loved all those Leaf wing battles back in the, especially in the 80s,
yeah,
into the 90s. Perfect, Matt. Perfect. I'm impressed with your...
Well, that's a gotta know, right? That's a...
Really?
I don't remember who the first one was at the ACC. I know it was a member of the Habs, though.
Who was the first home run hit in the Sky Dome?
Oh, fuck. Alfredo Griffin.
Come on, man. Alfredo Griffin was long gone by then.
Well, maybe came back with somebody else.
Yeah, no. And he did come back. But actually, it was Fred McGriff.
That's
the crime dog.
That's what I said, Alfredo McGriffin.
It's true, man. It's true. You did.
I stumbled somewhere towards it. Anything else you wanted to get to on this one? Or?
Just, you know what? I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the Tampa Bay Rays, who won last night.
What a sham. Not a single Ray in the lineup.
What?
None of these guys are named Ray.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck them.
Leota, Shepard.
Yeah.
Who else do we got here? Ferraro.
I was having a hard time, man, with that series because everyone hates the Astros, and I can't cheer for Tampa. Fuck them, right? It's a house of horrors for us.
Yeah, but you know what? At 3-0, you know, before the series started, I tweeted out, I'm like, man, I'm a Rays fan. I can't wait to see them punt the Astros,
yes,
right? For all those
I
reasons.
I do get it, yeah.
Although, I'm not a huge Snell fan.
Blake Snell.
If you double back to the, I'm out here risking my life.
Yes.
I'm going to get the Rona. And you're like,
why don't you settle down, buddy?
What you, exactly. While you're sitting at home playing your video games, taking in 35 mil. Like, give me a break. But anyways, besides Snell,
yeah,
I was sort of going, look at those guys. And then as the Astros, and of course everybody hates the Astros for all those reasons, and loving Altuve's, you know, inability to throw the ball in any particular direction.
Yes.
You love that too, right? And you're like, oh, like a young Chuck Knobloch, that guy.
I think it was Mike Wilner who tweeted out last night that Charlie Morton was throwing one of those, boy, I wish someone was banging a garbage can to help me out here type games. Like, just unhittable, right?
Well, okay, and it's funny that you bring up Charlie Morton.
Only pitcher to ever win three game sevens in a series, or in his career, and two of them were with those Houston Astros.
What's with the grunting, though?
Oh, man, how about when we brought in Robbie Ray?
Yeah, what is that? Greinke? Zach Greinke is another one of those guys with the, have we not made it through 100-plus years of baseball?
They're saying that when they talked about Robbie Ray, he was saying that it was one of his pitching coaches had brought that to him in the last year or two, and that it focuses you, and it will get you just that little bit extra. And, man, I noticed it a ton. I don't know if it was the lack of fans or just that he's that I'm sure it's a bit of both, but, yeah, some of these guys just – it sounds like women's tennis out there, man. Okay. Just giving
her. And see, it started with women's tennis.
Yeah.
Right? And you were like, I had a buddy who used to say, I like to flip through nudie magazines and listen to women's tennis in the background. And I'm like, so to me, that's that whole thing where you go, and then it creeped into men's tennis,
yep,
right?
For
you
sure
had men starting to do it. Now you have men in baseball doing the, and you're like, come on, man. I don't believe it. And I played in a sport that involved a lot of throwing.
Yeah.
And occasionally, you know, I'd throw into my Lipsby purse and you'd get a, maybe. But that's because I'm throwing the hell out of that ball.
Yeah, I'm going to kill this.
But yeah, can we get past that?
Right.
Can we get past, anyways.
I got no beef with it, man. If you think it helps you out, do it. Cause it's gotta be irritating to the hitter.
Okay. All right.
Then if nothing else.
I can get behind that logic right there because it's irritating me at home. So yeah. I have no doubt that, especially if I swing and miss at that high heater and you're like, fuck you, man. And you're grunting.
His breath's hot on the heels of the ball.
Well, this is it, man. I'm like, I want to put that ball in the bleachers. But instead, so now I'm swinging at shitty pitches.
Yeah.
Matt, great point, perhaps, because I am irritated looking at it at home.
Yeah.
But as it was up 3-0, I couldn't have been less interested in the Rays up 3-0 at that point. You're like, all right, the cheating bastards can't win, clearly.
Right.
Despite the fact that, like I said, Altuve's got the yips, but he's still hitting 400. So good for him, batting up in the batter's box and still hitting 400 without the garbage can.
Right.
And at that point, I'm like, this would be a great big fuck you to all of baseball if the Astros come back.
Honestly.
And win.
And avoid that tour they were going to have to take of getting booed in every building.
Yeah, no fans in any stands. Right. And
you're getting all like, light, fuckers.
And then each series they would win leading up to this, they're like showing zero remorse and they're smack talking people. And they're like, how about that? How do you like us now? And you're like, oh, fuck. So as I started to come back, I'm like, this would be compelling TV, especially if the Dodgers now playing tonight in game seven, if they would have won, you're like, how good would it be to see the Astros beat the Dodgers straight up this year? Yeah, well, oh, for sure. Anyways, that's the hater in me who thinks.
I'm ready to see the Dodgers get it done. I'm ready. I think that's who I'm, as you referenced, as we sit here now, they're playing game seven tonight, so we don't know how that's going to play out. I'm ready to see the Dodgers get it done.
See, I'm also not ready to see Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah. I'm with you there, too.
And it's not even his fault.
No.
Right. He wanted to stay, and they didn't. But at this point, you're like, it's like your ex-girlfriend. Maybe you didn't want her. Maybe you're done with her, but you're like.
Well, he's in Atlanta, right? So.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I know he went on to the Dodgers and then on to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I'm also, you know, I don't want to see him with his young team.
I'd be fine with it. Again, because it's not his fault. I like Alex.
I agree. I also like Alex. But at this point, like I said, that's where I'm making the analogy.
As you said, you're a hater from Just fuck everybody. I don't want to see any of these fuckers win.
Yeah, well, this is it. What is the least impact to my life?
You need a big That's Rona sweep up. Through the bubble.
Well, I'm out here risking the Rona. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was worth bringing up the baseball thing. I think no matter what happens now, I'm gonna cheer for the Rays. I think.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's I hate weird. The logo. They're wearing that crappy throwback with the.
And they're playing in like a Costco where I know not now, but like the like just everything about them bugs me.
You blow.
Get lost. Plus you punted my team fast.
Yeah, it was fast.
Yeah.
Nice close first game and then the second
and yet somehow just painfully slow. Like
well no, it wasn't slow because I tuned in and went, oh wait.
I don't
they're
have
already
to watch
down
anymore
9-0. I don't have to watch anymore, and it's only the third inning. Goodbye.
On Tuesday, TSN's James Duthie will be with us to talk about his new book. It's called Beauties, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories. On Thursday, we're going to be talking to Graham Nichols, better known as the Sixth Sens. So make sure, you fat-tongued prick.
Slurring whore.
Wherever you're listening to this one, you hit the follow button, you hit the subscribe button, and stick around. Because we got good shit coming. And Rob and I will be back whenever there's something worth talking about. Or
it's true.
Next Sunday.
Or either exactly. Way. Yeah, for sure.
Whether there's anything to talk about now, you're getting it. Anything else, man?
That's it, man.
All right. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, and we're out.
See ya!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.